You know, I just stepped on my stole. I think I might have shared this with you once before. I was a seminarian, and I was asked to come and fill the pulpit of a church here on Long Island. The pastor was away on vacation, and when I went to stand up, I was standing on my stole, so I couldn't lift my neck. And I didn't know if that was God telling me something. But that was the same Sunday that when I said the pastoral prayer, I said, "We ask all of this in my name." And one of the women of the church said, "I didn't know you had that much authority and power." I thought of leaving the ministry after that first experience, but it seemed to all work out over time. The one thing I've learned over the years, and you're an excellent congregation concerning this, that you don't have to be perfect up here. You just have to be willing. And I guess my early years in the ministry, I was trying to be perfect, and things would upset me. I'd go home and go, "Oh, man, I blew that." And then I realized the congregation just loves you. Just be who you are. And God is pleased and the congregation is pleased. And I hope that's true with all of you. So this morning, I wanted to bring you back a number of years. The year was 1986. Do you know what you were doing in 86? No, I don't either. But it was October 26, to be exact. It was a chilly night. The place was Flushing. Flushing, Queens, not too far from here. And what was going on? It was past midnight, and believe it or not, they were still playing baseball at Shea Stadium. It was the World Series. It was Game 6, and the Mets were trailing 3-2. The team they were playing was the Boston Red Sox, and they were really hoping to bring home a championship trophy back to the people of Boston had been waiting so long. And the Mets were down the bottom of the 10th, two outs. Their chances were nil. And what happened, a player by the name of Mookie Wilson, who was an outfielder, was up at the plate. And all Boston had to do was get one more out. And they could throw their gloves up in the air and hoist the pitcher on the mound and celebrate this long-awaited celebration. Mookie Wilson hit a ground ball to first. Should have been an easy play. The first baseman's name was Bill Buckner. You all might remember that. And as he went down to grab the ball, all he had to do was scoop it up and step on first. The ball went right between his legs. Ray Knight scored. The Mets won. They were given a new lease on life. The next day, they played Game 7. They beat Boston, and they took home the world championship. What a discouraging thing to happen to a great ball player, by the way, Bill Buckner, if you followed his career. He was a National League batting champion. He had been an all-star player. He played 21 years in the majors. Now, let me tell you, you don't last 21 years in the majors unless you're awfully good. He was a good ball player. However, that play defined him going forward. The Boston Red Sox fans understandably vilified him. You know, he was the GOAT, and he would be the GOAT. And regardless of his outstanding, stellar career in Major League Baseball, Bill Buckner could never live down that one error, that one stumble. That one incident that happened in his life would follow him throughout baseball history and in the minds of many people. If you mention Bill Buckner, They don't think about the batting title. They don't think about the all-star. They don't think about the 21 years. They always think about that ground ball that went between his legs, costing the Boston Red Sox a world championship. You see, that one error haunted him. And by the way, Bill Buckner died at a very early age. I think he was 68 years old. It's unfortunate. A fantastic gentleman, player. You know, one of those guys that you really look up to in the sport. But that era haunted him. And in many ways, it defined who he was in his own mind. Because that's a hard thing to shake. That's not just losing a game. That's losing the whole championship. And I don't think he was able to ever live that down. Because you see, what we think many times determines what we believe. And many times what we believe determines how we behave and how we act and how we feel about ourselves. And so the evangelist Joyce Myers, have you ever heard of Joyce Myers? Yeah, Joyce Myers wrote a very interesting book. I recommend it to you. Battlefield of the Mind. It's a very interesting insight on this battle that takes place in our heads oftentimes. But the good news, regardless of these battles that go on in our heads, and I don't know if it's ever happened to you, maybe I'm the only one that sometimes these battles go on in my head. The good news is found in the text that Barbara just read from Romans chapter 12, written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Rome. The Apostle Paul reminds us that for those who are in Christ Jesus, we have received a renewed mind. Now, just stick with me for a moment. I'll try to unpack that. But in Ephesians chapter 4, again, Paul writing to the church in Ephesus, he encourages us to put off our old ways, to put off our old attitudes, and to put on a new self and a new, he says, attitude of mind. In other words, claim that new mind that Christ gives us and all those battles that are going on in our heads. Joyce Myers' book points out, we must be mindful that there is a tug of war going on in our heads, and the question is, which side will you believe? This tug of war that's going on, just visualize this tug of war, and one's telling you something extremely negative, bringing up some negative experiences in life, and the other is trying to pull you in the direction of God, trying to heal those areas, and which side do you believe? Now, I'll give you an analogy. Every morning, one of my jobs, well, I throw out the garbage. There's a couple of things I do, but I bring in the mail. I'm the mail carrier. And 6 days a week, with the exception of Sunday, I bring in the mail. And I don't know about you, but I usually get a stack of mail, and maybe two pieces are relevant, and the rest is all junk mail, right? I mean, we're killing so many trees. I don't even bother reading junk mail. I take it and toss it in the garbage. The important mail that is addressed to me that I need to read, I open and I read it, and I see exactly what I need to do or what bill I have to pay or what important letter I must read. But the rest I just throw in the trash. You see, not all mail addressed to us needs to be read. Just hold that thought, that image for a moment. Not everything that I pull out of that mailbox I have to read. And likewise, not all thoughts that enter into our minds or our heads need to be dwelled upon. Right? We don't need to take those negative thoughts in our head and dwell upon them. And just like junk mail, we need to get rid of it. Now, you might realize that our computers, in our emails, we have a spam file, right? A lot of times, an individual, a business or something, they say, listen, if you don't see the email, check your spam folder, because it might have been diverted into your spam folder. It's a filter to filter out all the junk emails that we don't need to read, right? And so I want to suggest to you that God has given us a spam filter in our minds. What do I mean by a spam filter? It consists of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us discernment to determine whether or not we should entertain this thought that just entered our heads. The spam filter is God's word. In other words, what you're thinking doesn't line up with Scripture as to how God thinks. Sound doctrine. What do you believe? What's your belief system? We all have a belief system as Christians, a doctrinal belief in certain aspects of theology or how we see God and so forth. Does it line up with that? And lastly, wise counsel. Listening to people who can give wise counsel, who share the truth. Not gossip, not innuendos, not assumptions, but the truth as to how God feels about us, you and me. In order for us to break through in every area of our life, we need to learn how to think like God. And Paul tells us we could determine what the mind of God is like. We need to own how God sees us, not how the world sees us, or in fact, not how we see ourselves. Okay, 1 Corinthians 2:16 says that we have the mind of Christ. When we submit our lives to Jesus and we take on that title of Christian and we consider ourselves to be a disciple, a follower, a believer, a student of Jesus Christ, we have the mind of Christ if we choose to use that mind. In fact, in Luke chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus tells us to love God with all of our mind. To love God with all of our mind. And to do this requires a shift in how we think. What do I mean? How we process the thoughts that come into our heads. Now, I don't know about you. Have you ever had a bad thought come into your head? You know, something that troubled you. Maybe it's something that happened a long time ago. It requires a shift in how we process our thoughts, how we handle those things that enter into our minds. When a thought enters into our head, we need to ask ourselves, does this thought line up with God and what God says about who we are? Or does it line up the way the world thinks? Paul says, do not conform any longer to the ways of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And by doing this, you'll learn God's perfect will. You see, the question is, are we driven by faith or are we driven by fear? When we turn to God, He turns our sorrow into joy. He chases away the discouragement and fills our hearts with hope, encouragement, positive solutions, direction. He assists us when our minds are troubled. You know, this past year, many of us have had troubled minds for a number of reasons. Just the isolation alone that we experienced during COVID messed with our heads. There's no doubt about that. When you miss communication and interaction with your loved ones and your friends and the ability to go out and dine or to go see a movie or go to the gym or any of those things, all of that stuff was locked down, including churches. It starts to mess with your head. But you see, God gives us an attitude of gratitude. God gives us hope and optimism, and despite of what we might be thinking or feeling or experiencing or what others may have spoken over our lives, Paul tells us, renew your mind. What's the word that he uses here? Metamorphosis. Metamorphosis means a transformation. A good illustration of that is a caterpillar turning into a butterfly, right? Caterpillar is crawling on its belly, weaves this cocoon, and over time it stretches out. It has beautiful wings and one of the most beautiful creatures on the face of the earth. When I sit in my backyard, I love when the butterflies come around. And that's what Paul's talking about, a metamorphosis. Something happens when we claim to be followers of Christ. Now, we have a choice. We could either continue to crawl on our bellies and allow these negative thoughts to affect our lives and the way we think and the way we live, or we could choose to rid ourselves of those thoughts and spread our wings and fly as God intended for us to do. You see, we can be set free. Jesus says the truth will set us free. And the truth is that God is a forgiving God for mistakes that we have made, and God is a healing God because God wants us to have a sound mind. God wants us to be whole in body, mind, and spirit. God wants us to be strong in our faith so that no matter what comes against us, we could stand up to it with God's help. We don't have to let the devil or others remind us of negative experiences that managed to skirt around our spam filter, the spam filter of our minds. We can take every thought captive under the obedience of Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 10:5. So the next time a negative thought enters my mind or your mind, and by the way, I practice this on a regular basis. And when I remember to do it, it works. Your prayer should be something like this. Jesus, take this thought from me and replace it with the thought of how much you love me and how much I have been forgiven. Take time, just a moment. When that thought enters your head, just pause for a second, even if you're driving, and just say, Lord, I got this negative thought running around in my head. Take it from me and replace it with something positive. Remind me of your love, your forgiveness, and your healing. You see, friends, we could live with what I called, and there's no such thing in psychology, but I named it the Bill Buckner syndrome. And this isn't to put Bill Buckner down. Like I said, I admired his career. But it's constantly reminding us of that bad experience. It's constantly coming back into our heads, an experience we just can't shake, an experience that cripples us, an experience that holds us prisoner to that experience, an experience that prevents us from living the fullness of life that God wants for all of us to live in spite of our circumstances. We could be transformed by the renewing of our minds and to let go and let God fill our minds with peace. How many people don't want peace here this morning or watching online? We all want peace. Isn't that what we strive for? To have peace, to rest our heads on our pillows at night and sleep well. In fact, my wife said I slept too much last night, which is unusual. She had to wake me up for a change. But I think I went to bed with peace last night. The healing that God offers is like no other healing, my friends. The healing that God offers is an inner healing that has a positive impact not only on our minds, but on our bodies and on our spirit. Let those thoughts go, friends. If you're struggling with negative thoughts in your head, maybe not this morning, but maybe yesterday, perhaps tomorrow, or the next day, or the next week, let those thoughts go and give them to God. Give them to God. Remind yourself that your mind has been transformed and renewed. Next time a negative thought enters your head, give it to God and watch what He can do. You believe it?
Amen.
Amen. So do I. It works.